Good evening and welcome back to adfreeshows.com. It is a gold medal Q&A with our very own resident gold medalist and Hall of Famer, Kurt Angle. Good to see you, Kurt.
Good to see you, Lauren. Glad to be on.
It's good to be seen by you, Mr. Angle. Up first, we have a question from Nick Mills. Hey, Nick, what you got for Kurt Angle?
Hi, Kurt. Good to see you.
How you doing, Nick?
How you doing? When you were the WWF, I noticed that obviously on a lot of your promos, you would interact with the crowd, like the backstage promos. Who told you to do that? Was that Brian Gewirtz or Vince?
You mean interrupt the crowd because they were chanting, you suck?
Yeah, so no, I mean, like, you know, you would do a backstage thing and the crowd would chant, what? And you say, what's that? You're not hip like me? You know, that kind of stuff. Like, is that Brian Gewirtz?
They wanted me to play off the crowd. They wanted to get the what chants going. Stone Cold Steve Austin came up with that, and he wanted to make a lot of money on merchandise. So I had to kind of do the deal and help Stone Cold out and make the fans chant what even more. So whenever I would say something and I would pause, the fans would chant what. And I would pause on purpose so that they would say that. And that was the idea of what they wanted to accomplish with that promo.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you.
All right. Up next, it is Lone Wolf Montgomery, who is a very big fan. Kurt, you haven't gotten to meet Lone Wolf yet.
Lone Wolf. Hello.
Did we lose him? Oh, no. Let me see.
I'm here.
Okay, there he is.
There's the Lone Wolf.
Real name by chance. Man, I'm not gonna do it again, Lord. I'm asking the real question this time because, man, I'm so at odds. My dad wants to say you was his favorite. He was one of my favorites. You came in the game and you changed it, and you came in and it's like you already been doing it for years. So thank you for everything you've done. But here's my question. I know what your favorite match is, but I want the second favorite match because my favorite match was you and you, Kurt. Triple H, Undertaker, Stone Cold, Rock, and Rikishi was in that. I watched that match at least once or twice a year. That Hell in a Cell match was so goddamn fun, bro. You took the brunt of all the ass whooping, and everyone was taking hits on you, and you still win the damn match. At that time, when I was a true believer wrestling, I was like, how the hell did he win? I'm a huge Stone Cold fan. Huge. Big time. But what is your second favorite match beyond your first match? I don't want to have any first. You always say the first your favorite matches. Give me a second favorite one because that was my favorite one.
My second favorite is Undertaker No Way Out 2006.
Nice.
I had a match with him. It had to be 30 minutes. It was incredible. The false finishes, the submission trade-offs. It was a really good match and it told a really good story. Undertaker is a really incredible worker, especially for a big guy. He's so athletic for his size. And I had great chemistry with him.
Oh, well, again, thank you for getting your flowers, man. You're amazing. I loved everything you did. Good guy, bad guy. Thank you again, man. And that same match, that's one of my second favorites you was in too. So bro. Kurt Angle,
hey, you're the reason why I was in the business. Fans like you, that's what I appreciate the most about.
Oh, and you're the reason I went into collegiate wrestling, too, in high school.
Oh, nice, nice. What are you doing with the seatbelt on? Are you driving a truck?
Oh, man, I'm in my Amazon down. I'm out here slinging packages. Take care, my friend.
All
right, kid. Thank you. Right. Hey, tell Randy Orton I love him. He's one of my favorites. Top three. Thank you.
Lone Wolf always brings the high energy, and you guys were talking you guys are talking about chemistry and slinging packages, and I am just all the way here for Kurt Angle. I love it. So you're obviously one of his favorite wrestlers. I have to tell you guys, I have a favorite person who is here tonight. It's Mark Nelson. What you got for Kurt Angle, Mark?
Hey, Kurt. How are you? Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it. I just wanted to know, I'm a huge book fan, loved your first book. Was wondering if there was any chance of you writing a second book and basically giving more details on your career from when that first book ended. Again,
well, you know what? The first book, I probably shouldn't have done it at that particular time. The reason why I did is because nobody else would. Stone Cold, Undertaker, The Rock, and nobody wanted to do a book back then. And Vince McMahon came to me and said, hey, I know you just started in the business, but you can write about your Olympic career. I was like, well, shouldn't I wait a few years and have my pro wrestling career laid out a little bit longer, you know, a little longer career before I start a book? And he said, no, just talk about your Olympic career and what you've done up until now. And that was like 2000 was when I wrote the book. And so I only had my rookie year in that book. But what I've done is I have a documentary coming out. It's going to be on A&E August 28th. After that documentary, I'm going to start my book again, my second book. So I wanted to follow the documentary, though.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Hey, what's the title of the book?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Hey, I'm still thinking about it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I am getting all kinds of heat for admitting that Mark Nelson is my boyfriend behind the scenes. Sorry about it, guys. I hate to break all your other hearts.
There's enough of Lauren to go around for everybody.
I guess so. Kurt, oh my God, he's on a roll today. Josh Rosenbaum, what do you have for the Olympian?
Well, I'm talking to, in my opinion, one of the greatest American athletes of all time, Kurt. I was 22 years old in 1996. And when you gave that post-medal speech, I can still watch it today and it brings a tear in my eye. Thank you for
thank you. It brings a tear to my eyes too.
Yeah. It was so emotional. I loved my father as well. For you to share that with us, it's timeless. It's timeless.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that.
My question to you is, who is your favorite referee that you worked with? Who did you gel with best in the ring, and maybe an experience where either they saved you or you saved them?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Brian Hebner is the best referee I've ever been in the ring with. It's Earl Hebner's son. You obviously know Baby Heb, Brian Hebner. The great thing about him, what made him separate from everybody else, is most of the refs come to you and say, what's the finish? And you tell them the finish and they say, okay, I got it. I don't want to know anything else. Brian wants to know the whole match. He wants to know the structure of the match, how it's laid out, when the heat starts, when the comeback starts. He wants to know all the false finishes. He douses himself in the match. He's almost like another wrestler. And that's what I loved about him. He always wanted to get involved in the matches. And that's why he's my favorite.
Well, good enough for me. I appreciate that. And I look forward to seeing you at Top Guy Weekend again.
Good. I'll see you Labor Day weekend.
I'm so excited. We were talking about that before you got here, Kurt. It's going to be a great time. And for those of you who are not Top Guys yet, get those upgrades in. You're running out of time, and we definitely want to see you there. Paul Millett, will you be at Top Guy Weekend in Chicago?
Maybe, maybe not.
Unfortunately, I am unfortunately a My Push member, not Top Guy. So I'm not invited to Top Guys Weekend.
Womp, womp.
But I do have my chicken snacks for
nice.
To keep me going right here.
My man.
So
you like them?
Kurt, so I'm a huge fan of yours. You're like one of my top in-ring performers ever. And I appreciate the in-ring ability. And my daughter is making lots of noise, as you can hear.
Adorable.
Hey, okay.
She can be in the video. There you go.
There you go. Okay, so my question to you, I've been listening to a lot of your TNA stuff on the podcast. And y'all had like such an amazing roster. And I've heard Eric Bischoff talk on it. And I've heard Jeff Jarrett talk on it a little bit. And maybe you have, and I apologize if I did not hear it. But where do you think TNA like went wrong? Why was it on such a roll and then it just didn't catch?
Honestly, I think it was money. I think that the company was probably paying the talent too much money, and they weren't making enough money to pay that talent, and they kept borrowing from the Carter family. And I think the Carter family said after a while, they said, okay, we're done. And then we had to work with what we had. And I think that's the reason why the company didn't last as long as it should have. I don't know any other reason for it, because TNA was on a roll and our ratings were going up. We started signing other wrestlers. It wasn't just me and Sting and AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. We got Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. We brought in a bunch of other athletes, a bunch of incredible wrestlers. Booker T, Scott Steiner, Kevin Nash. We had a lot of big stars in the company. So there was no reason why that company couldn't have moved forward and did better in ratings. No doubt.
All right. Well, thank you for answering my question. I really enjoyed like that period of TNA. I thought you guys, your in-ring product was as good, if not better than WWE. You know,
I agree with you. I really do. I loved it there. I absolutely had, I had a blast working there and working with all those guys. You know, the when I went there, I didn't know a lot of the names, and quickly I was like, wow, this roster is incredible. All the young guys were amazing. You know, Jay Lethal and Eric Young and, you know, Bobby Roode, James Storm. We had some great talent there.
Yep. Yep. Very good. Thank you so much for taking my question. I'm going to enjoy my chicken snacks and watch the rest of the show. Enjoy your chicken
snacks, my friend.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right. Chicken snacks. That's where it's at. Kurt, I've bought those from Amazon sometimes. Is that is that a legit distributor? Is that a good thing to do or should I not?
Yeah, they're good. They treat us well. I can't complain. That's probably our top sellers from Amazon. We also directly from the website, we do pretty well. But we're doing pretty good right now.
Oh, good. Okay. That's good to know. Guys, I chose Amazon just because I don't like to pay for shipping on principle. And I think there was a flavor I couldn't find. It was out of stock on the website, but I got it from Amazon. So pro tip, try that option if you need to. Up next is Michael McClanahan. Tell me if you have a favorite flavor of chicken snacks.
I prefer the cinnamon swirl flavor of chicken snacks. I think they're excellent. As always, Lauren, Kurt, thank you both so much for your time
this evening.
My question for you tonight, Kurt, is, you know, we're about 20 years just shy of Judgment Day 2002 when you lost the hair versus hair match. And I wanted to ask you, and it might be kind of a silly question, but I think it's interesting. Do you think that the wrestling machine Kurt Angle would have been perceived the same way if he had hair or had a receding hairline, or did the appearance with the bald hair actually impact the audience's perception of you? I know that's kind of a unique question, but I wanted to get your thoughts.
It's a great question. You know, thing is, when I came in as the Olympic hero, I was doing corny, goofy comedy stuff, and people labeled me as that. I mean, you know, they knew I was an Olympic gold medalist, so when I got in the ring, they took me seriously. But I was doing all that funny, goofy stuff. And what Vince McMahon decided to do is he said, your hair is receding. You're going bald. You're going to shave your head. We're going to have Ed shave your head. And you're going to be the wrestling machine. That was his idea. And he wanted me to be taken more seriously by the fans. So that's why when I shaved my head, I changed my character to a more serious character. More of a badass.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Always great to talk to you.
Good seeing you again.
Thank you.
Kurt, one of my good friends told me very recently, God only made so many perfect heads and the rest had to have hair. So congratulations. I guess you're one of the ones.
Because I have a perfect dome.
Yes. The perfect dome, he says. Those are the guys who get to be bald. So, hey, I appreciate that perspective. Christoph Hankerson chiming in with a question for Kurt.
Hey! Can you guys hear me?
We hear you.
Yes. Awesome! It's Kurt, it is so good to be able to chat with you here this evening. Been a huge fan of yours since the late '90s when you made your debut on SmackDown. I love listening to the podcast every week as well.
Thank you.
It also gets me through my Amazon route. I too am an Amazon driver off today, but
great.
The ad-free show's entertainment gets me through my route every day. So thanks for the quality entertainment. My question for you tonight is this, kind of diverting away from wrestling. So like you, I'm a huge sports fan, but I know you're a Pittsburgh guy. So my question to you is this, who would be on your Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh athletes?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. Okay. I'm going to go Willie Stargell, the Pirates, Franco Harris, the Steelers, Mario Lemieux, the Penguins, and the fourth one, gosh dang, I'm going to throw this out there because I absolutely love them, Mean Joe Green. He was the man on defense. He was the whole glue of the 1970s Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah, Steel Curtain, right?
Yes, they were badasses. Yeah.
Nice.
four Super Bowls in the 70s.
I know. That's, yeah, that's way more than my team has. I'm a Bears fan. And we're still sitting Bears, on, yeah. Yeah, we're still sitting on 1985 and talking about it.
I remember McMahon was the quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. So
you guys had the Super Bowl shuffle.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Even though that was before my time, I still know like all the words to that. Like, so
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go.
Hey, good talking to you, man.
Yeah, you too, Kurt. I'll see you at WrestleCade.
All right, I'll see you there.
Thanks for jumping in with us, Christoph. It's always a good time to talk sports with your favorite pro wrestlers. And where else are you doing that but ad-free shows? You love to see it. M. Gallagher chimes in and says the sriracha flavor is the best of the chicken snacks. Let's see what else he has for Kurt tonight.
That's a good choice.
Thanks, Kurt. Thanks for taking the time, Kurt. I'm a huge fan since I'm 16, 17 years old. My graduation party was the night you won the King of the Ring, and I was definitely a little fanboy. So thank you for
awesome.
That.
Thank you.
Another great moment was when you won the title in Pittsburgh. How did that feel winning? I know you talked about it on your show, and yeah. You know, I don't want to ask a question you've already been asked, but you know, how did it feel being in front of your family and in that moment? And I know that you joked about after you went and got burgers and stuff, but like just the pride, and I guess it's going to sound silly, but I know that when you first got into wrestling and started thinking about it, a lot of people tried to steer you away from professional wrestling. How did it feel to be at the top and kind of look back and say, you know what, I'm glad I didn't listen to them or anything? How did that feel?
Well, I'm glad I didn't listen to them anymore. I listened to them for a couple of years. I was offered in 1996 by Vince McMahon. He gave me a multi-million dollar contract and I turned it down. And 2 years later, I asked him if that contract still stood. He said, no, you're going to have to come up and try out. So I had to try out. But the question you were asking me was the world title in Pittsburgh. It was awesome. It was like the Olympics all over again. I had my family there. I'm in my hometown. I'm wrestling the best wrestler ever, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I win the title from him. And you know how I won the title? This is crazy. 9/11 occurred. I was the American hero. I called Vince McMahon. I said, listen, the fans need a shot in the arm. I think that maybe if I beat Stone Cold Steve Austin for the title, we'll give the fans more hope of, you know, the tragedy that occurred and just get the fans, you know, give them a smile on their face, you know. And Vince McMahon said, well, you're going to have to ask Stone Cold. So I called Stone Cold and he said, let's do it. He said, how long do you want the title for? I said, not very long, a week, 2 weeks, it tops. He said, that's cool. I'll do it. So, you know, going there in my hometown and performing in front of my family and all the fans there that knew me since I was a kid, it was awesome. It was epic. It really was.
Thank you, Kurt. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Good question.
Thank you.
All right. Yes.
Thanks, okay, Lauren.
Next is Spets. Tell me who you are. Maybe I just butchered that name and he doesn't even know.
Spets, you're right. Vikalova from Canada.
Okay, perfect. What do you have for Kurt Angle?
Yeah, I just always wanted to ask you, like in the, when you were in the Olympics in 96, you're going into that gold medal match. What was your mindset going in with a broken neck? Like, were you know, going in knowing you're going to win no matter what? Were you kind of doubting yourself? You kind of going on adrenaline?
You know what? I went in with an open mind that I had an opportunity, a chance to win. I knew the Iranian was the best guy in my weight class, actually better than me, better than anybody. He was having incredible Olympic games. I think he beat the 9-time World and Olympic gold medalist 9-1 the round before. He just dominated the tournament. And I knew all I had to do was keep it close. As long as I stayed close with him and kept the score close, I would wear him down and get him tired. I knew his conditioning wasn't as good as mine. Nobody's was. And that's how I won. I wasn't always the best wrestler or the fastest or the strongest or the most technical, but I was the most well-prepared. I conditioned like a son of a bitch. That was my forte. That's what I did the best. And that's what I did is I got my opponents tired. And it worked extremely well. So it's easy to be confident when you know you can keep a match close and you know you can wear your opponent down and eventually beat him. And I knew that I could do that. And the whole thing with the broken neck thing, The crazy thing is my doctor was shooting me with 12 shots of Novocaine in my neck before each round, 5 minutes before each match. So I couldn't feel it. I didn't know my neck was broken, at least at that particular time. But after the match, an hour later, I'd be in excruciating pain again, and my neck would be killing me. But, you know, when you go out there and you're focused on your match, and especially the Olympics or any kind of tournament like that, you don't want to worry about what your injuries are. You want to focus on the match. And having that Novocaine in my neck helped me to forget about my neck.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kurt.
Thank you.
Ryan F., thank you. Oh, look, a drawing for Kurt Angle.
Oh, that's adorable.
I love thank that. You, honey. You're so funny. Brian, good to see you.
Good to see you, Lauren and Kurt. Thanks for your time.
How you doing, Brian?
I've got my 1980 Miracle on Ice shirt here, and I was curious about the Olympics as well. Are you a fan of the Olympics, and is there any other memory or moment other than you winning the gold medal that you really enjoyed?
Well, you know what? There are a lot of memories. Bruce Jenner winning the gold in 1976. He was the reason that I got interested in the Olympics. Watching the U.S. hockey team win the Olympics, I believe that was in 1980. That was a great moment. Exactly. The Dream Team winning in 1992 was really cool. It was the first time they were eligible to play. There were a lot of moments. I remember the one in particular that really blew me away was Carrie Strunk when she sprained her ankle and she had to nail that last mount, and she did it. It brought tears to my eyes. I was in the same Olympics, and I watched that like 3 days before I competed. And that gave me the motivation to move on. I was like, I know I have a broken neck, but Carrie Strug, her ankle was broken, and she landed the mount. And so it gave me a lot of motivation to go out there and do the best I could.
Yeah, 96 was a great Olympics. So
it was. Awesome. Of course, it was in the United States, in Atlanta.
That's right.
So I didn't have any time issues to deal with. I was right there, you know, Eastern time, and I got the right amount of sleep. You know, when you go to other countries for the Olympics, you have to get adjusted with the time. You know, you're over in Japan, it's 12 hours difference. So you have to adjust yourself. But I didn't have to do that. We had an advantage being Americans.
Well, that's good. I enjoyed your strategy story. That's to come with the best strategy. Sometimes you can win and overcome the odds. So thanks for your time.
Without a doubt. Thank you.
I'm loving the little Notre Dame and Purdue rivalry that's kind of taking place over here in the chat box. So that's fun. You love to see it. Guys, if you're listening to this later, you're really missing out by not being on these live shows. We have so much fun in the chat that you never even know about. It's a great time. Up next is Eddie Prather, who is also always, usually, sometimes a great time. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Lauren. Hey, Kurt.
How you doing, Eddie?
You probably don't know this, Kurt, but Carrie Strug is from my town, Tucson, Arizona. So
nice. I knew she was from Tucson. I didn't know you were from Tucson. Now yeah. I do.
Hey, Kurt, can you say a quick hi to your one fan that never thought you sucked, my sister, Shauna?
Hey, thank you. I'm glad you said I don't suck.
my favorite wrestler of all times.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, honey.
Hey, Kurt, my question for you tonight is your thoughts on the awesome job your wife and Kim are doing on their podcast.
You know what? It's a different podcast. They talk about their families. They talk about their husbands. Not always in a good light. A lot of it is, you know, kind of a little negative, I guess. They rip on us a little bit, but they also support us. It's a cool podcast. I think it's different than any other podcast because they are wrestlers' wives and they talk about different subjects. It's not always about wrestling or anything like that. They do a lot of different things on the show, and it's a really cool show.
Can you let Giovanna know that she's doing her and Kim are doing such an awesome job?
They don't know that, but I'm going to tell her that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, especially how they scared the heck out of John Alba.
I know. They pick on John. He's the one to pick on.
You have a good evening, Kurt.
You too, my friend.
All right, Eddie. If you guys are not checking out Wives of Wrestling and all the other fun content on offer at adfreeshows.com, what are you doing? They're having a great time hanging out with John Alba and causing a lot of problems in his life, I hear. So all good things. Also is Zol. You're all good things too, Zol. I'm glad to see you tonight.
That's always good seeing you, Lauren. Your bright smile, especially on a very difficult early start to the week, makes it so much better.
Perfect.
Kurt, and of course, your smile. Kurt, your smile definitely lights up my life. Lights up my life. Not gonna lie.
Okay. As you can see, I'm getting ready.
There we go. Got Ms. Zozo here. You want to say hi real quick? Nope. She's hungry. So my question, for you tonight, Kurt, is why I've been listening to you and Paul talk on your podcast. And, you know, when the clips are brought up, Mike Tenay seems to use the word Olympic, which I know WWE got slapped on the wrist for, despite being on a Universal NBC network. So why was it that TNA was able to use Olympic, but yet WWE had to change it from Olympic Slam to Angle Slam?
Because the WWE is the monster. TNA was under the radar. So they didn't have to worry so much like the WWE does, because WWE's mainstream. TNA was more of a cult company. Although they were doing pretty good in ratings at one time, they never made it to that status that WWE is in. So I think it's because they were under the radar.
Okay, that's kind of what I figured, but thought you might be able to give us that inside scoop. So thank you so much.
Sure, I hope I helped you.
And I will see you in Chicago on Top Guy Weekend.
Top Guy Weekend, good. Labor Day weekend, good. I'll see you soon.
Okay, so speak of the devil and the devil shall appear, and in walks John Alba. John, what are you doing here? Who invited you?
Well, that's, you see, I've got the other angle in. I've got the Giovanna angle in. And with all due respect, Kurt, that's a lot more intimidating than your anything you bring to the table.
I know, John, I'm married to her.
No, I'm just checking out.
John co-hosted some of my podcasts too, if you guys don't know that.
Kurt, me getting to broadcast with you and getting to host shows with you is genuinely one of the most fulfilling things I've ever gotten to do. I am on the record as you being on my Mount Rushmore, and it is just the absolute greatest thrill. So I don't have any questions. I just love hanging out and hearing what the Olympic gold medalist has to say. I appreciate
it. Well, I just want to tell you, I love you, John.
Likewise, man. Likewise.
Okay, well, now I'm jealous. So, John, thanks for coming by, but you may leave now. Up next is Anthony Pyrus. Hey, Anthony. Anthony? We may have lost Anthony. That's okay. I'm going to kick it over to James Sorensen in the meantime. Hey, James.
First cancellation.
Yes. Howdy. I've been watching a lot of SmackDowns from 2002. My question for you, Kurt, actually it's a two-parter. One, what was it like working with Hulk Hogan in that 2002 and being shaved bald 20 years ago yesterday? And can I have an Olympic-sized milk and cookies birthday one-on-one at Top Guy Weekend with you?
You got it, man. We'll celebrate your birthday. One-on-one. But how was it working with Hulk Hogan? I'm not going to lie to you. The guy was awesome. He was at that time like 55 or 56 years of age. He was up there. And he was still going strong. I mean, he was a little slower than he usually was, you know, in his prime of his career. But he still had it. And we had some great matches, especially that match where I wore the headgear and the wig. I think it was King of the Ring, I believe, 2002.
Yep.
And I had a great match with Hulk Hogan. I absolutely loved working with him.
Well, that by far is one of the highlights of 2002. I mean, your entire
that. You know what's crazy? I'm the only one to make Hulk Hogan tap out.
Heck yeah.
That's true. It's damn true.
But you're like I've always told you before, you're one of the all-time greats. Greater than Bret Hart. Bret Hart ain't got nothing on you. But you're truly great. Thank you. Lauren, you're the best. I'm gonna twist Anthony Pyrus' line. Go Falcons.
Thank you so much, James Sorensen. Kurt, I don't know if you know this. I live in Atlanta. I love the Falcons. And anytime you talk about the Olympics, I'm just like, oh, that's my city. I love
Atlanta, all 1996. Yes.
That's right. Olympic I did not Park. Live here yet, but here I am. So I moved here. I chose Atlanta. So that's good stuff. Now, I want to bring John Alba back in to the conversation if I can, because John, before you jumped in and even before Kurt jumped in, we were having some conversations here, the guys and I, about Top Guy Weekend and StarCast and all the other really fun things that we have coming up with ad-free shows and with the Kurt Angle podcast and all the other Conrad Thompson endeavors. And everyone's really excited. We're coming out of, you know, pandemic lifestyle and getting back on the road and enjoying some fun. John, do you have any comments? What's coming up that you're most excited about with me and Kurt and the guys?
Well, I don't know about with you, Lauren. I know as
how far rude. I'm really being left out of a love triangle. I'm not feeling it.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm so excited to get on the road and get to chat with everybody. StarCast is going to be a blast, but I'm really looking forward to Top Guy Weekend and getting to hang with all you guys, and especially Kurt. I just want to so badly. There is one watch along that I really want to do with Kurt Angle at some point, by the way. Kurt, I want to watch the ultimate submission match between you and Chris Benoit with you.
That would be awesome, John. Great idea.
Because the idea of pulling off an Iron Man match in the form of a submission match, I can't even imagine how unfathomable.
It's ridiculously hard.
That yeah. Exactly. So I really want to do that, but I want to come on here, Lauren, real quick, because, you know, we were just talking about the wives of wrestling, and I hear from the wives every week about how, oh, Kurt Angle's got these silly little idiosyncrasies. He runs around in his undies around the house and wears his slippers. I want to know, Kurt Angle, what is the most embarrassing thing you can tell us about Giovanna Angle?
Oh my God. She wears a wig.
No.
I'm kidding. First of all, she's the love of my life. I have nothing embarrassing to say about her. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you or anyone else.
Now, I know she's probably behind you peering over, making sure that you're saying that.
No.
I can't tell you enough, Kurt. It's such a treat getting to do the show with Giovanna, and it's really been
you guys fun. Have something special, John. It's a lot of fun to listen to.
I really appreciate that. Lauren, how about we play a little newlywed game with Kurt then?
Because I think that might be fun.
So
I do want to say, Kurt, it's very bold of you to make a joke about a wig when you literally have no hair. Where's your wig, Kurt Angle? I'm kidding.
I wore it 20 years ago. It's gone.
All right. So, Kurt, how about this? Okay, I'm going to propose a question. All you got to do is say if the answer is you or Giovanna. Okay, that's how we'll do it. Okay, so who is more likely to be the strict parent, you or Giovanna?
Giovanna.
She's so strict. I'm the cool dad.
I get yelled at every day because I let the kids do what they want, and my wife gets mad at me because I don't discipline them, and I need to start doing that definitely. She's in the room right now.
Tell her to come say hi to everyone.
I'm kidding. She's not in the room.
Okay. Who is more likely to be emotional while watching a movie? Who's more likely to cry?
Me. Believe it or not, me. Yeah, she'll rip on me too. She's like, why the hell are you crying? So we do watch a lot of movies, but I get really emotional, especially watching movies of someone that passes away, and that really gets to me, and it gets to my emotions, and I tend to be a crybaby when that happens. I cry a lot in movies.
Lauren, hit us with one.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I need to know, this is not a you or a her thing. I need to know though, what is your least favorite meal that she has ever prepared for you?
Ooh.
Oh my God. I would say,
it's either a good or a bad thing that nothing comes right to mind.
You're right. Well, no, she hasn't made me anything bad. She has made me stuff that's bad for me, which I in turn don't eat, but I can tell you a few of those. you know, pasta, meatballs, pizza. She makes homemade pizza. She's really good at it. But I don't eat that stuff. I eat chicken and I eat plain potatoes and white rice and vegetables and pork if it's lean. So I'm very strict on my diet.
Well, the next time she decides to make the Italian dishes, John Alba and I will come stand in.
We're there. We're there.
You'll absolutely love her food. You will.
What's your cheat meal then, Kurt?
My cheat meal, believe it or not, I go freaking crazy with all the sweets. I like late at night. My cheat time is Sunday at 2 a.m. I go down and I gorge everything in the closet. Everything.
I have
from
heard.
Kids' snacks to my stuff to cake to pie to ice cream. I do it all. And I probably consume 10,000 calories in one sitting. It's ridiculous.
I've heard Kurt Angle likes to sneak cereal late at night.
I do that too.
Don't all great Americans Coach
Crunch,
do that.
Captain Crunch, anything with crunch in it.
I love that.
Brian says sugar with a side of sugar. That's absolutely right. Okay, so Michael wants to know this, Kurt. We talked about this on the Wives podcast. You and Giovanna recently had a surprise getaway. You were not sure of what you're going to do. The airport didn't really work in your favor. You were going to go to New Orleans, but instead you decided to do a local little staycation. How did all that go, and what was that experience like?
We went to the airport. We're going to New Orleans to try their food and to have beignets. I was going to have my cheat meal with beignets and any kind of Southern food, especially from New Orleans. And so we're all fired up. We're getting ready to go on the plane, and the plane gets delayed. So we're waiting another hour. The plane gets delayed again. Plane gets delayed another hour. Then we get on the plane, and then they have a problem with, listen to this, with the telephone. Who gives a shit about a telephone? It wasn't working. So they couldn't take off. So they got the telephone fixed, and then something happened with the engine. So we had to get off the plane. They canceled the flight. So my wife and I said, you know what? We go to New Orleans tomorrow. We're only going to be able to stay a day and come back home. So let's just go somewhere here. We ended up staying a mile away from our house. We didn't go away. We didn't go home for the kids. We stayed out and spent the weekend together away from the kids for 2 days. And that's how we spent our vacation. A mile from the house.
Love that so much. But I also heard that you then went upon yourself to purchase some bucket list travel book items there.
Yeah, we went to Barnes & Noble and we got all these travel books. Yeah, because we're going to travel a lot when we get older. When the kids are older, we're going everywhere. Every country, you know, we want to go to Italy, Egypt, Israel. You know, I want to go to Africa. I've been to Russia 5 times. Don't need to go there. Wanted to go to China, South America. So we're going to do it up. We're going to do it good.
Kurt, it's on my bucket list to travel eventually to see the Olympics. That's something that's a lot of fun for my family. We love the Summer Olympics especially. Is that something that you would like to do? Do you ever just like, hey, I'd like to go watch the Olympics?
Yeah. I just haven't had any time for it because of my wrestling career. So I wasn't able just to go away and go to the Olympics for a week or 2 weeks or whatever. But eventually I am going to do it. Hopefully, what I'm trying to do now is get a good relationship with USA Wrestling and hopefully become a commentator for the Olympic wrestling. Ooh. So hopefully down the road, you'll see me on TV commentating the Olympic wrestling, freestyle and Greco-Roman.
Excellent. We would love to see that. And you know, you guys are going to hear about it first right here on Ad Free Shows. I want to say a big thank you to, of course, Kurt Angle, our special guest here, John Alba. And I want to send all of my love to Mrs. Giovanna. Wives of Wrestling is so much fun. We're having a great time with it. And appreciate all of you guys. Kurt, any final thoughts before we sign off on this one?
I just want to thank everybody for being great fans and, you know, make sure you become top guy. If you're not a top guy yet, sign up for it. And thank you, John. It's always good to see you, my friend.
Likewise.
Kurt, let me get in one last question. I think I overlooked this one. Bobby has a question for you right at the buzzer. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Lauren, how you doing?
Great, good to see ya.
Great. Hope your day gets a lot better.
Thank you.
I know how those rough days are. We had a wacky bunch of kids today.
Yikes.
Real quick, Kurt, you were there when the WCW guys first started coming over. after Vince acquired WCW. How was that? How was the locker room? How did that transition go in your eyes?
Oh, it went pretty well. You know, there were no attitudes. Nobody came in and thought they were better than anyone else. Everybody came in pretty humble, I guess, because WCW did go under, or they got bought out by WWE, and Vince McMahon owned them. But it was crazy because I remember when the NWO came in, Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, Vince McMahon made them do pre-tapes all night long. He waited till after the show was over, after Raw was over, and had them do pre-tapes for the show for the following week. So they did pre-tapes probably till 5 a.m. And it was Vince saying, you know what? You wanted to leave me 20 years ago? Well, when you come back, I'm gonna teach you a lesson. So it was Vince like saying, listen, I forgive you, but I didn't forget. It was, you know, so, and if you remember a lot of WCW guys, when they came in, like Chris Jericho, he came in larger than life, and Chris Benoit came in larger than life, Eddie Guerrero. And they came in and they were huge stars. And then Vince kind of pulled them down and had them start from the beginning, you know, opening match, opening card match, mid-level match. Mm-hmm. And then they built up to the main event. But I think Vince wanted to create his own superstars with the WCW stars. He wanted to make them WWE superstars by him making them stars. So what he does is he tears you down and builds you back up.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. It's actually a good idea, to be honest with you. I'm not against it at all.
Some of us that were WCW, you know, fans back then, we kind of took it as, well, you know.
A little personal.
Well, because, like, the NWO was not Vince's creation, so it wasn't going to last long, that kind of thing. So it kind of what you're saying there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Vince is going to make sure that he gets you back.
Yeah, right. Well, I got my pizza and my honey or sweet barbecue chicken snacks on the way. They'll be here Friday.
Awesome. You're going to love them. I promise.
It's going to be good. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Bobby. From Kurt, from John Alba, from every one of us here at Ad Free Shows, thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you at the next one, and I hope you have a wonderful week this week. Good night.
Thanks, guys.